This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Two Swiss pilots, André Borschberg and Bertrand Picard, have been flying Solar Impulse across the U.S. over the last few weeks. The unique airplane has a wingspan over 200 feet long and is powered by four electric motors that draw energy from 12,000 solar cells on the wings. They launched from Moffett Field, just south of San Francisco, and when I spoke with André, they were in Washington, D.C. I know you don't have a lot of time, so I guess why don't we just jump right in, and can you tell me what this experience has been like for you flying that big airplane across the U.S.?
It has been a really fascinating experience from many points of view. First of all, we had such a warm welcome by everyone. I mean, starting, you know, by the authorities. The first contact we had with the FAA talking about the feasibility of this project, the permits that we needed, the support which was required to have this solar airplane land on the major airport in the United States. You may be aware that we also had many thousands of visitors coming to see this airplane everywhere we stopped, and the contact we developed with these people was also spectacular.
And which legs did you actually fly?
I flew the legs from Phoenix to Dallas. That was the first one. It was also a very interesting one. I think all the legs were interesting, and that was a little bit the goal of the flight across the United States, was to fly in different weather situations than the one we have in Europe, in different kind of traffics. And I had really a very special experience arriving in Dallas, where the wind above the airport had the same intensity as the maximum approach speed of the airplane. So I was just flying stationary, just slightly above the airport. So that was an interesting experience to see how we could land the airplane in this with this kind of weather. And the second leg I flew was from St. Louis to Cincinnati, and I will be flying the last one from Washington to New York maybe next week.
So can you tell us a little bit, what's it like to fly this airplane? I know it's got a really long wingspan and it flies really slow, and how do you control it, and how does that feel to you as a pilot?
First of all, it's very special to fly an airplane which can fly the entire day, climb to 30,000 feet, and at the same time increase the amount of energy it has, for example, in the batteries. During the day, more you fly, more energy you get on board of this airplane. Of course, that's completely different than the experience that I had until now. But if you talk about flying itself, it took time to get used to it. The first experience we collected was to fly the flight simulator we developed to train. And interestingly, at the beginning, we couldn't land this airplane. We were either on the right side or on the left side of the runway, always on the grass, but never on the on the concrete part of it. And it took us time to learn. And when we did, that was the time to do the first flight.
So do you control it? Is it like a stick and rudder kind of flying, or how does it work? Is it electronically assisted?
No, it's fully manual, as we wanted to separate completely the controllability of the airplane from all the electric system. Because the airplane is fully electric, if we try to avoid, in case we had a major problem on the electric systems, that we could shut down everything to reduce the risk and be able to land this airplane completely independently. So it's manual. It has no autopilot. That's the reason also why we limit ourselves for maximum 24 hours. It's an airplane which has two personalities. I mean, you talked about, you know, which kind of flight controls. It has a rudder like any other airplane. It does not have a stick, but it has a steering very similar to what you have in transport airplane. Mm-hmm. And the reasons why we don't have a stick is that when you need the full deflection of the ailerons, you need up to 30 kilograms of force to be able to do that. So you need the two hands in case you want full deflection.
Well, I guess you do. From here, you're going to New York City, and then what happens to the airplane? You're just going to dismantle it, and will it fly again?
There are different scenarios, but I think the one we're working on effectively is to dismantle the airplane at Kennedy Airport and to ship it back to Switzerland. We will have flown close to 500 hours, and for first experimental airplane, that's much more than what we expected to do. So we'll decide later on what we do with this airplane. One secret goal we have is to be able to have the two airplanes, this one plus the one which is under construction now, to fly together in formation. But I don't want to say secret goals because I'm talking about that, but that's maybe, some kind of a dream we have somewhere in our head.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be great. So for this second airplane, the goal is to fly around the world. Is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely that. The first airplane is a test bench. It's a flying laboratory. It's an airplane we developed to demonstrate we can fly day and night. And in some ways, it flew better than what we expected. So we decided to do much more than what we had scheduled initially. But the second airplane is really conceived to fly long duration, long distance, over the ocean, many days, many nights. So it will have a different cockpit, much more comfortable, in some way, to try to have the pilots becoming also a bit more sustainable. We have an airplane which can fly many days, many nights. It has no limit in terms of energy, so it's fully sustainable from this perspective, but the weak part of the chain now is the pilot. So one way to help us to fly many days, many nights alone in the cockpit is to have an environment which is designed, in fact, to be able to achieve that. So this will be done. It will have an autopilot, of course, to help as well, and it will integrate much better, more advanced technologies than what we have on the first prototype.
Oh, okay. So the second airplane will have two pilots and they'll be able to sleep on board? Is that the idea?
No. Still one pilot operation, but more space for the pilots to be able to do. The longest leg will last 5 days, 5 nights to cross Pacific.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
For that, we need to be able to sit, to lay down, to do some exercises, to keep the blood circulation active. We'll do very short resting periods. I trained in the flight simulator many days, many nights already. And I've used resting periods of maximum 20 minutes and different times of the day. So that's what we plan to do also when flying these long-distance flights.
Wow, that sounds pretty challenging. 5 days aloft in that little cockpit.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting experience. I think that's a personal in some ways, a personal discovery. That's also what we train now is to better understand how we behave, how we are, how we react with some sleep deprivation, and how do we cope with that? How do we feed ourselves? So that's the part where there's little experience available, as there are few airplanes. There is no airplane flying so long alone.
Right.
You have airplanes doing refueling, but normally there are at least two, if not more pilots on board, so the system used are different. So that's on the human side, that's a very interesting development of what we do.
Yeah, I guess so. And do you have a timeline in mind when you think that airplane will launch?
The idea is to do the flight testing next spring and next summer. And we hope that we'll have enough time to bring really this airplane on the front line and be able to start the flight around the world in spring 2015, so in less than 2 years from now.
Okay, well, thanks very much. And is there anything else you'd like to add for our AFWeb listeners?
Maybe just one comment that people can sign up on the website. And that's true that we have only one pilot on board, but everyone who signed on the website will be taken as virtual passengers with us on the USB key. So all the names also will appear. So people who want to support what we are doing, believe in these technologies, are more than welcome to be our virtual passengers.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much.
A great pleasure. Have a nice day.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.